each of Deacon Zeekin Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
Good morning, Father. Again, as always, may I get out of your way. May your truth be lifted up so that you would be glorified, you would be understood, and you would be obeyed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, here's the cool thing. All this content today, it usually is, but certainly all this content, including printables, will be online at thespeakingdeacon.com and the church website for downloading purposes. So the audio, the PowerPoint, and the printed materials will all be there. Why will all this content be there? Well, one, because God has blessed us with the ability to get Bible goodness to anybody everywhere. So, hey, why not use it, right? Back in the day, here's our big shelf of cassette tapes. That was the tech they used a while ago, right? Now we're beyond that. And now we can get even more content, more media to you so you can grow in Jesus and you can obey him. So one thing, the next level, what I really want to do is set up cameras so that people can watch from home, right, offline if they want, or then be able to download the material. So I've been desiring to do this for the last year. I've just been trying to get the gumption because it takes a lot more editing. To give you an example, for me to edit a podcast that I just uploaded yesterday from last week's sermon took me 2 hours because I listened to the whole thing. I chop out my really ridiculous statements that I don't want the world to hear, you know, and those sort of things. And then it gets uploaded and I put, you know, some funky little beats beforehand and some fun stuff afterwards. So that takes a while to upload that. It'll take twice as much time to edit video content and make sure it's synced with the audio before it goes online. But for the sole purpose that the Christians will grow in Christ. Right? That's the purpose. That's why God gives us these great tools and gifts. Right? Printed material is still used. I said this at some sort of network group the other day about TV did not kill radio, all right? Digital did not kill print. They all have a purpose. They all have a sweet spot now. They're a perfect place where they meet a need for content. So you all should have like an actual hard copy Bible. If you're any in the tech world, you should have several of the numerous apps to your devices that can get Bible content, the Bible, into your head, which is essential. You should be able to have a radio you can tune to for Christian radio, whether it be music or sermons, to get more Bible in you. That's really essential. We're going to get into the details. But back in the day, about this time, college students go off to school. And the toughest week for any college student, except for the end of the semester, is the beginning of the semester. Because they spend the whole week going to classes, and the whole class is given over to the professor telling them what they're going to do in the next 3 months. And that they give them this big form called a syllabus. And a syllabus, which is kind of what this looks like here. It's an outline form of all the content that's going to be covered over the next 3 months. It always includes the homework assignments, the essays, the books they got to read. And you might get one class and go, not a problem. That's cool. I can do that. But when you have 4 classes or 5 classes, and now you've got all this stuff they want you to do, depression quickly sets in before the end of the week. So at the end of the week, you're like, how am I going to do this and have a life? You know? And you're looking at these, and everyone has a syllabus. They do it differently. I remember Michelle, she would take a ruler, and she'd literally draw lines and put dates on them, and then she could start checking them off. I was not that organized. I lost my syllabuses. And I was like, when's that due? How come nobody told me? Right? But I was in the youth ministry major at the time, so that explains it. Anyway. So what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks, school's coming for everybody. So I figure I'm going to beat all the school systems to the punch when it comes time for your schedules, your priorities, your objectives. And it's not just for the student, but for the singular, but also for, you know, we're all getting back into our work schedule. Summer's coming up, our vacations. We're getting back into that same season. We're all programmed with that school season in mind, and it does affect even our work schedules, because now we got to readjust for our children, we got to readjust in our jobs and our schedules, and our time becomes more limited because now our kids have a full-time job. In essence, they're going out in the morning just like we are, and then they have the extracurricular activities. For me, it was band week before school, and instead of volleyball, it was band, right? A whole week of band, and hey, that's tough drilling in band when it was a whopping 70 degrees in that main heat, you know? Everyone's dying of sweat, and everything's bad. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through just a few, and we're going to spend the next 3 weeks doing this, and this is going to take a lot of thinking, because the cool thing about Jesus and his truths is no one in this room is unqualified to do this. Everyone in this room, because Jesus meets us where we are at. He doesn't say, well, okay, you've met these qualifications. Come on, you can do the work of the ministry. You can serve Jesus. Every one of us in this room is not unqualified to obey Jesus. And it's cool. And that's the neat thing, is God can use us where we're at, what we're doing, how we are, where we are. God can use us. So, without further ado, and that's why you'll see, like, on the Syllabus Sunday, I just got some headings, but I don't have any notes, because the notes, the application, is going to require thinking on your part. This is where we leave the world of religion behind, and Jesus becomes life. Okay? So first, I got to remind you of this, is discipleship, the five disciplines, are all based off the Great Command and the Great Commission. The Great Command is found in Matthew chapter 22, 36 through 38. And then the Great Commission, I was trying to see if I had that spelled out somewhere. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. These are the epicenter of everything. Everything we do falls into this. This is why we say this every Sunday. The purpose at Pawpaw Bible Church, the one, is to love God and people. That is the great commandment. All those words in the Bible, over 1,400 years of God telling us what He wants, how He wants it done, is all summed up in the great command. Love God with your whole existence, all your faculty. Everything that God has given you is for God. It's all about God. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's all about God. So I just want to make sure we keep that focus. Because when you start to truly love God, the first thing that gets uncomfortable is you. Because now we got to do things that are uncomfortable. Right? So if we don't have our focus where it's supposed to be, we can't love God, because that's going to lead us into trouble. Two is the Great Commission, where Jesus says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. I had a friend of mine tell me, yeah, but that in the church body, there are those who are evangelists, who have the gift of evangelism, and it's their job to evangelize. It's not my job to evangelize. No, everybody has to evangelize. Everybody has to disciple. Everybody has to be involved in that piece. You're not. You may be stronger at one and less strong in something else. So what? We're all called to do it. Okay? There it is. So this is the epicenter of Christianity. Why are we doing this? Because Jesus died on the cross to save us from hell, which we deserve. If we don't deserve hell, then we don't need a Savior, and you don't need to follow Him, because you're your own God. All right? We don't want to have that mentality. Jesus is God. We live to serve Him. So make sure that's clear. So, it's a life commitment, not a religion. And it's a get to, not an ought to. A response of love to God for the love He has shown you. And in Matthew 16:24, then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. All right? This is after Jesus telling them, you know, this isn't just a neat saying that goes on the back of a t-shirt. This is the saying that says, Jesus saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to publicly execute me. If you want to follow me, come and be publicly executed with me. Well, there's a warm fuzzy. Okay! Not! That's in essence what he's saying. It's not just a figurative speech like, and taking up your cross, one thing we want to understand, when I hear people who struggle with, you know, a physical ailment, oh, that's their cross to bear. You know, no. Physical ailment is the curse because Adam and Eve sinned. So the physical ailments that you struggle with, or I struggle with, or whoever we know, or the family situations or the circumstances, those are not the cross that they must bear. In New England, they say that a lot. Oh, look at that. That's a cross they have to bear. And that's way, way out of context. The cross we have to bear is going into the public arena and saying, Jesus Christ is God. Now, bear a cross. When they say, no way. When they say, you know, all the things that the culture is concisely after Jesus. I was sitting, Caitlin and I went to the movies yesterday, and some movie about box trolls is coming out. And in the movie, they're talking about different kinds of families. And first they show the family of the mother and the father. Then they show the family of the single mother. Then they show the family of the single daughter. This is a kids movie coming out. Then they show the family of the mother and the mother. Then they show the family of the daddy and the daddy. Then they show the family of the box trolls. Whoa, well, okay. But right in the kids' movie, now just as accepted, as normal as anything else, was that message to the children right in a preview to a movie. And the rest of America applauds. Yay, who needs Jesus? He doesn't know. Are you ready to bear the cross? And give them Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Are you ready to bear the cross and tell them about Romans chapter 1? Right? No. Of course not, man. I'll be considered a bigot and intolerant and all that nasty stuff. But that's what we're called to do. That's what the real cross means. It doesn't mean do it to pick a fight. But if we love these people and they're unrepentant and they think they know better than God, then guess where they're going? Do we really want to see them burn in hell? Do we believe they will go to hell? Do we believe that, nah, Jesus is really going to just say it's okay? He's not. So let's go into this. So now we're going to get into some hard work here. The discipleship encompasses all of the above. And that's discipleship, worship, fellowship, ministry, and evangelism. All right, those five disciplines are pretty much the core of what Christians do in response to Jesus. So we're going to unpack just a few of these. We're only going to unpack Bible study and some fellowship and evangelism. We're going to unpack those today a little deeper. But first, we want to talk about the overall goals. In your Bible study, you should be taking time. 30 minutes is not a lot to ask. 10 minutes is kind of an anemic way to do it, because that's like saying, I'm just going to nibble a bit and off I go, on my day. Thank you, Jesus, for that little nibble. All right? Daily breads? Sure. Read five daily breads, okay? Not just one. If you're going to do just the little daily bread thing, eat five of them. All right, that would be about maybe 15 minutes. Daily 30-minute quiet time with God for the purpose of prayer, for the purpose of getting Bible into you. It's so essential that you have Bible in you, Bible in you, Bible in you. If you were to look over your entire day, how much of the media do you allow to soak into your brain, whether it be conservative talk, radio, music, videos, TV shows, games, whatever, blogs, anything, podcasts, how much of that day is content that is irrelevant to God? Not necessarily negative to God, but just irrelevant. And how much importance we put on that. You know what I'm saying? Pouring into us. And what are you really asking for? Honestly, to give God 30 minutes ain't nothing. Forget the TV show. Forget the radio spot. Are you really telling God, but the season opening, Lord, is right here and I just can't do it? Really? Really? No, I don't think so. Worship! Go! Bringing glory to God in every situation, and I added, in every Sunday. Alright? Whatever I said a few years ago about making sure, you know, church, religiousness, forget it. You need to be to church. You need to be at church. Because it's only once a week! For an hour and a half! You need to be here. Bring glory to God in every situation. Whether, you know, it's a struggle, it's a bad time, the car exploded, the trees ran off, you know, all these bad things. Worship God, thank the Lord for it, and then come to church on Sundays to worship God corporately. Then, of course, fellowship. Now we come back to that. Here's a goal that I got to work on myself. You know, we come, church starts at 10. Not at 10:30. Part of the service starts at 10:30, but the fellowship begins at 10. That's just getting in here, relax with the saints, realize there's other saints here in the town, and chit-chat with them for a bit. I'd like it to go deeper. I'd like you to be able to... It'd be neat to come into a fellowship time at 10, and people are like over in a corner praying, someone's reading a Bible verse, someone's taking notes about something they can do to help somebody. That would be insane fellowship. That would be like mature, grown-up fellowship. Whoa! You know? That would really be what fellowship is about. You know? And that begins at 10. So ministry, a regular service to the for the local team in the church. And that doesn't, you know, that could be something as small as maybe once a month getting the bathrooms cleaned, you know. Even once a month, the restrooms need to be cleaned. Those sort of things. Or something more cool that we'll talk about in detail in the next week or two. About the ministry to the team, that might be something as handing out hymnals. It might be, you know, one thing we were talking at a deacon's meeting is being able to bring communion to those on Communion Sunday who can't come out. I thought that was a great way we could reach out to the local community. And just gets us out more. I know evangelism-wise, we've got some strong folks who are really good at, you know, when an event's coming up, we're out there. We're hitting the streets. We're letting people know. You know, and maybe instead of just inviting to events, we hit the streets just to meet people. Just to hang out with them for 20 minutes. And that happens every time I went out. There was one house that would invite me in, and I could have easily spent 15, 20 minutes just chatting. That's awesome. So I know those opportunities out there. Maybe instead of trying to invite them to a church event, we just need to invite them to Christ at their house. We'd make it twice as easy. We don't have to bring them anything. We don't have to schedule anything. Just go in there, sit, and see where it goes. Right? That's fun, honestly. And then and that mixes right in with evangelism, sharing your highlights. You have a story. You're here because you love God. God has done something to you and for you that you go like, hey, God's awesome. You know, and you want to do something about it. So that's evangelism. So now we're going to unpack this in more detail. We're going to take a few minutes to talk about inductive Bible studies. And if you got your pens and pencils ready, this is falling under the discipleship. And the question is, I need to know where you're at. When it take and make time, and then no excuses, going deeper, and how to do an inductive Bible study. I'm saving this one for a later time, the last one, how to do an inductive Bible study, because it's a lot of cool stuff, and that there's no way I'm going to get it to you on a Sunday morning. But first and foremost, getting control of your calendar. That is the actual August 2013 Hello Kitty calendar. It's official. So with that, I want to hand out, if you would please hand out one of these to everybody. Actually, I'll take one too. Thank you very much. This is a schedule. This is a week in review. All right? This will help you think. Because if we don't take and make time, this is the essential. Hello Kitty is all about taking and making time. All right, that's what she's saying right there. Take and make time. If you don't take the time, you won't make the time, and you'll never have the time. Because everybody else is going to tell you how to spend your time. And God only gives us so much time in a day. It's always the same. Everybody gets the same. How we spend it, you know? Are you going to let other people dictate how you spend your time, or are you going to spend your time? You know, so today it's the 11th. There's 2 weeks left, 2 Sundays left in the month. Okay, and I guess the 19th is for the Pawpaw schools, somewhere in September for other schools. But most of the public schools are starting in these 2 weeks, I believe. So there you go. So you know, you know what's going to happen on your 9-to-5s or your 7-to-5s, 7-to-4s, Monday through Fridays. You already got a good idea. This is a sample of something you can work at. I downloaded this, just to let you know where this calendar came from. Went to Word, you know, Microsoft Word, and under templates, calendars, okay? And then I said week view, as in weekly, and then it showed up. So I hit OK. It showed up on a piece of paper. Now, I could have typed in there. I could print it and write on it. But regardless, you don't necessarily have to go to Staples and buy yourself a $50 leather-bound daily planner. All right, there are a gazillion free apps if you have a mobile device, if you have an iPod. For 3 years, when I was working at the mall, my mobile computer was an iPod. iPod, not an iPhone. I didn't have a phone. And Pawpaw, you don't need a mobile phone because it won't work. So it was an iPod. And from that, there was a gazillion calendar apps. There's even school, free school calendar apps to help you manage your week. All right? Great device. I actually also used it for Skype, phone, right? And for Word documents. I literally just got a keyboard for that little thing. Typing away, trying to see. But I had to get stuff done. And so, just getting back in things, this is more of a workshop type Sunday, not a preachy Sunday. So now, here you go. You got your week in front of you. This could be any week. You've got 1 week before the school system hits. You know, maybe camps, whatever's going on, syllabus, maybe you're studying already. So now, somewhere, most likely, you're getting up between either 5, 6, or 7 in the morning when school hits, certainly, you know. So, this is your opportunity, you know, maybe if you don't write it down now, but at least this is your map. When are you going to have your Bible time? When are you going to have your Bible time? Before the world comes in to kick your teeth, when are you going to have your Bible time? Got to take it and make it. Take it and make it. I highly suggest not doing your Bible time after your homework, after your job, after your supper. I don't suggest doing it then. Because if you're anything like me, you're Dane bred at that time. That means brain dead. That means you're spent. And you're going to give what's left to God when you're wiped out, you're really indifferent, you're emotionally not there anymore, you're disconnected, and you are looking to slide into home and into that bed and maybe a fun TV show, right? You're all thinking the same thing, right? So it's like, so if that's your intent and that's where your emotion and your heart is, the last thing you want to do is go, I'm just going to pour it out one more time, get that Bible open and think and pray and give God some energy. No, you're not. Do it in the morning. Get that coffee in you. Run away. Tell the world it can wait. Get God in you. Start your day with Him. I highly suggest that. Or a lunchtime thing. You know? Maybe you can sneak away for lunch. Take a break at lunch. But you got to be able to give God more than a glance. More than a flip that little daily bread. I love daily breads. I'm picking on them. because it's the minimal of the minimal of the minimal of what a human Christian could possibly ever give to God, aside from nothing. You got to go deeper. You got to grow up. If I was to ask any of these men about chainsaws or engines or whatever your industry is, you would be able to tell me in great detail. Know your theology. Know what the Bible says. Know where to find it. Do it. Right? I had no idea that there's a line on a chainsaw that actually tells you which way the chainsaw... You know, I just thought it was decoration. Right? I didn't know. That's when you're cutting, it's going to fall in that direction. That's why there's a line all the way around the chainsaw. Really? I just thought it was plastic lumps. That's all. Just a line. Anyway, so make the time a good time, an honest time, real time for Jesus. Okay? And it's a great place to put notes. Now keep this in front of you because there's a couple other things you got to squeeze into your week before the world takes it from you. We know we got Bible time, discipleship time. Okay, here's September's 2013 schedule. There's 5 Sundays in that time. Okay, so you might want to be planning now. I know there's going to be 5 Sundays in September. Most likely they're all going to fall on a Sunday. Maybe I want to earmark my schedule so I have plans to be to church on Sunday. Then, all right, just keeping it basic. Now, no surprises. Now let's talk just a little bit about going deeper a bit. As I mentioned earlier, do you all have a Bible? Just show of hands. Do you have a Bible that you can read? Okay, good. Because when I did vocational counseling for folks, there was we got them the audio Bible so that they could hear the Bible because they couldn't read it anymore. We got them an audio Bible. It doesn't have to be on little technical devices. It can be, you know, on CDs that they can play on a player. Audio Bibles. Make sure we can get the Bible in us. What about, how many of you are comfortable getting content internet-wise? If I could give you websites to go to, the younger generation's raising their hand. Okay. Okay, that's essential to use that for the younger generations because you're using it anyway. Use it for glory. There's a zillion resources out there. How many of you have mobile devices? The 2 young people raising their hand, okay? All right, there's a zillion cool apps. A bunch of cool apps. Okay, so you'll need to know where the apps are for that. Because one, they're free. And two, it's awesome, the stuff you can get. Have you heard of Glow Bible? Glow Bible. Glow Bible. Yes? Okay. BlueLetterBible.org. Fabulous apps, free apps, must-haves. Okay. So, obviously, if you need... here we go. If you need a new Bible, go get one. If you need an audio Bible, you know, even let me know the type of stuff you need. And, you know, it's easy to get. It's easy to download an audio Bible and burn it onto CD, actually. Guided study series. The bookstores, the Christian bookstores, have whole series of theology that guide you through it. And literally, it's like, you know, it says, read this text, and then write down the answers here, and it guides you into that deeper thing. Because if you're not comfortable, you know, just reading Scripture and being able to understand some of the great tools that there are, like a concordance or stuff, a guided study series are fantastic. And there's so many series out there by different publishers. I highly suggest them. They usually look like paperback books, you know, with the they're stapled in the middle bound, right? And there's always room for notes and such, and they're great for Bible studies. That is what I would recommend your morning Bible time be, is get a guided study series of some sort of theology. And of course, as a church, we can get a list to recommend and even where to buy it and how much they cost. But I definitely suggest if you spend money to buy food to feed your body, I suggest you spend money to buy Bible content to feed your soul, to grow up in Christ. Lists of online resources, audio Bibles. One thing I can't say enough about audio Bibles, I love audio Bibles. For two reasons, you get twice the input, twice as easy. For me, just to read scripture in a room, the birds might be chirping, it's a little easier to get a little, distracted. But when it's being read to you, in narration, in actors' voices, with background music, you're reading along like we normally read, and it's being spoken to us, so now we're getting it audio as well as visual. You've doubled the input into yourself, and it's twice as easy to stay focused and understand the content. I cannot recommend them enough. They are fantastic. And I remember when I first came to Christ, all I had was a little Gideon Bible. And a friend of mine gave me a pack of cassettes, King James cassette tapes. See, as a 21-year-old, I could not get through Matthew chapter 1. I couldn't get through it. There's all these begots. I don't even know what a begot is. Is it a fruit, a nut? What is it? Right? So-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so. And it's not even in an English I understand. I can't do this. I don't have the discipline for this. And then when I got those cassette tapes, I put it into my dual cassette boombox, baby. And I'd hit play, and I got through chapter 1. Yeah! And I got into chapter 2, and that made more sense to me. And chapter 3, and I was able to start getting into the Bible. And I'd never read it before. You know, I was the 21-year-old. If you came up to me and said, "Have you read the Bible?" No. No, I haven't. I wouldn't lie to you and say, "Yes, I've read the Bible." Everyone's read the Bible. No, they haven't. And if they say they have, they are lying. All right? The audio Bibles rock. And the audio Bible apps are even just as awesome. And I always wake up to Bible.is. Right? You know that Bible.is? Bible.is. All right? Literally, Bible.is. And the app. In the morning, I'm drinking that coffee, and I'm listening and reading and just getting it in. Before the world tries to beat me up, it's me and Jesus, baby. Just get it in. That's how the day begins. All right. We do need time for theology training. The question is, I would love to just go down theology systematically and go deep with folks. I would do a Wednesday night theology class for folks. Not just a Wednesday night prayer service, but Wednesday night learn the deep stuff about Jesus class. That would be something spectacular, awesome. If there was a need for it, because that's part of someone's discipleship, oh, that would be fantastic to be able to give that. Okay. On a scale from 1 to 10, the stuff I gave you, 10 being really easy to do, 1 being no way, Jose, can I do any of this. You know, where do you stand? Write that down. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Where's your heart in that? How much of that was really intangible stuff? How many of it was non-concrete, fluffy netter, that's well-meaning, but I have no intention of doing it type of information? Answer that in your own heart. All right. Now we're going to move on to fellowship. And I have to say, this group has proven to be, give or take a family's missing that's normally here faithfully. This is the core that, some folks are working. This is the core that is just going to make it. You're going to make it. That's fantastic. You have beaten something that many Christians in this town are getting stomped on. They can't even get to church on Sunday, which happens every Sunday, right? So, congratulations, saints. You're winning. You're fighting the fight. You're battling the battle, and you're producing fruit of faithfulness and fellowship. Congratulations. That's something that needs to become a habit. It needs to be a habit. Why? Because the scripture says, don't make it a habit of missing, so we want to make it a habit of never missing a Sunday service. And the purpose of it, I think scripture is very clear on the purpose of the Sunday service, and then the scheduling times to hang out. So we're going to take a moment to unpack that. Our key verse is found in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25. And it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. See, that's the real purpose of Sundays. And I think if we don't purpose this in our hearts to come here for that reason, then maybe that loses its meaning. I think that's why no one shows up for fellowship. Why? Why do I need to come to fellowship? I mean, it's just a few Christians drinking coffee. What? Well, how about this? That we may consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. If you're not doing it at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, when are you doing it? When are you doing this to the other Christians in this church? Think about it. So the nice thing about Sunday mornings, at least we know once a week I'm going to get together. There's going to be a huddle of the Christians in town. We're going to get together. We're going to have a huddle. We're going to talk about God's stuff. We're going to praise the Lord. Okay, in verse 25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. That can't be a habit of the Christian. Because what else is there? I know in this town there are not many other alternatives. If there was a Bible study going on every other night of the week, I'd be less worried about it. But there's not. There's going to be extracurricular activities every single night of the week when school starts. But it ain't going to be extracurricular activities of people studying the Word of God and fellowshipping and praying and talking to the lost. That ain't going to be happening. But we're going to pour our souls out for whatever happens over there, isn't it? It's just a fact. So as Christians, I'm not dissing it. I'm saying let's bring Christ into it. That's what I'm suggesting. But we're back here to fellowship. It goes on to say, but encouraging one another. All the more as you see the day approaching. Whether that's the last day that Paul was talking about or our last day, hey, time flies by. I even had my daughter, 9 years old, yesterday say, today went by too fast. Even a 9-year-old is starting to experience time speeding up. All right, we only have been given so much time on this earth to serve the Lord. Our day is coming, every one of us. But our goal is to encourage one another, and how we may spur one another, encourage one another in Christ toward love and good deeds. Those good deeds may get us in trouble. Proclaiming the gospel might get us in trouble, but that is a good deed. That's the real purpose of Sundays. Minimum. Sundays. And then, you know, do you know what the scheduled week is for everyone else here? That you might encourage them. Do you know what struggles people are going to be facing this week? That you can encourage them. Or job schedules. Or, you know, issues. Not necessarily, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily give money, and it's not necessary to bring a meal, but to say, just give a call. How you doing? Can I help you with anything? What's going on? Have, you know, prayer, whatever. Stay connected. So anyway, not too much details on that, huh? Yeah, I don't think I'm going to pack any more on fellowship. Oh, yeah, scheduling times to hang out. That's the last one. Above and beyond Sunday mornings. You know, do you have scheduled times to hang out with folks from church after church? So anyway, so the last area is evangelism that we're going to talk about. And this is all stuff that we can do, practical steps. Especially, you know, and keep in mind everything we've talked about. You've got notes in front of you. You've got an empty calendar you can fill in. So you and Christ are in a position to get control of your time before you tack the world. And this is the last thing. We've got a few minutes left, and we'll just get into this. Evangelism. The real issue here is, who do you know? This, I think this is the most ultimate strategy. Even above the families and the Appalachian Way, God has called you out, brought us together, and says, you're His. You belong to Jesus. And this is the Christian family. It's pretty cool, right? The fact that we're here is a work of God. It's a miracle of God. And now, God says, you know what you need to tell them. You know why you're here. You know what the gospel is. You may not be practiced at saying it much. It's irrelevant. Who do you know? I can think of back in the day when Jesus came to our family up in Maine. That led for no few uncomfortable conversations and fights and, oh man, what a mess. Didn't matter. The Christians were called to proclaim Jesus to the lost. Whether it's family, friends. I lost my friends at one point. I did get one opportunity to say, this is where I was, this is what Jesus said, and this is where I'm going. They at least got to hear once the gospel before they went on their way and I went on my way. And that was tough because that was my social life. Right? I had a lot to lose, so to speak. Who do you know? Now, create your system. In sales, my day job is sales, and you have what's called a sales cycle or sales funnel. If you talk to 15 people to get an appointment, you might get one appointment. If you get three appointments, you might get one sale. And you play these statistics with it. Okay? So you got to prepare yourself to go into these businesses, and 14 of them might say, no, no, no. And that 15th one will say, yes, come on in for appointment. Yippee skippy, you come in for appointment. Oh, is that it? No. Well, if you got three appointments, that third appointment says, yes, come in for appointment. Oh, is that it? I'll take one. Thank you. All right. So you play the step. Christianity is not quite that harsh. Because one, how you're living is going to make a big stink to your friends. You know, just even your small talk, they should sense you're different. There should be an evidence there that, ugh, you know, maybe they like you around, maybe they don't, because your talk is pure, you don't support the things they're supporting, you just don't have the things in common with them because you're too busy obeying Jesus in your own life. That makes you stick out like a sore thumb, or like a glorious thumb. That'd be an interesting picture. Looking for the Holy Spirit. You know when the door is open and somebody says something and it rams right into biblical truth. You know when those incidences happen and that opportunity is right there to say, well, that's interesting. God would kind of disagree with that statement. Can I share with you what God says? And in the name of open-mindedness and tolerance, would you be willing to hear what God says in His Word? Right? Because you're going to get slammed with this as soon as school begins. As soon as you go back to your jobs. As soon as the politics begins up, you know, again. You're going to be, these opportunities are there. And people are going to, how come the enemy can spew forth demonic stuff in a public setting and we can't? The bottom line here is that if someone can spew something stupid in the public arena, you can spew something good in the arena. You know, oh, we should all tolerate every other sin out there. Hey, God doesn't say that. Now are you going to be intolerant? Are you intolerant of me preaching God? Well, no, no, I'm going to then be quiet. And let me share too. You know what I'm saying? You got to be ready to do that. And now some people are going to quietly be on your side. Yes, yes. And other people are going to become, oh, you're the enemy. And that's exactly how they'll treat you. And that might be a teacher, that might be the principal, that might be your boss, that might be a coworker. That's the cross. That is the cross. Another one is speaking the gospel. If I hear one more person misquote Francis of Assisi, or Assisi, whatever you want to say it, where he says, always preach the gospel, and sometimes, if necessary, use words. That's always the Christian way for being a chicken butt. Not just a chicken butt. Because now you're saying, I'll just live such a good life, they'll know the gospel. That never, ever, ever works. If you can't say the gospel to somebody, you aren't saying the gospel at all. And we have this pesky verse, which God has given us to make sure it's clear. Where God has placed you, sorry that red's not showing up, you, is where you are to be talking. Talking. Everyone say the word talking with me. Talking. All right? Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You got to be able to say what you are, why you are, where you are going, why you are going to heaven. You got to be able to say this to somebody in the next month. That's what we're called to do. Is that too much to ask from the one who died on the cross for you? Oh, let me see, I'm going back into the public arena. Do I have time to share the gospel? All right. The answer, only one right answer to that. You got to speak it. You got to speak it. And just to make sure that's clear, you got to speak the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Let me see. So, as I mentioned, there's some other cool things I'd like to try and do is, you know, instead of evangelizing and handing out invitations throughout the town to come to an event, evangelize, go out there, and invite ourselves into their house and hang out. Maybe we could have an invitation to church. I'm just inviting you to church on Sunday. Oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. How long have you been here? Oh, that's great. So stop by the door, chit-chat for a little bit. Maybe they'll invite you in. Oh, come on in. Hey, all right, that's great. And you are so-and-so. That's happened every single time we've gone out inviting people in. If I spent the rest of my time just with those folks, that would have been 100% success. Even if they never came out, we went to them. And that's the bottom line on evangelism, is getting the church to them. So, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, which we're going to get to in a few weeks, is, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. That has got to be our reason for existence. Where you're at, giving Jesus to people so that the ones who are empowered by the Holy Spirit will be saved. All right? We're out there so that people will be saved from hell like we were. Right? Okay, we covered three of the church disciplines. Next week we're going to go over two and then maybe take one more week of it just to make sure, August, that you are ready to get back into the season of society that's coming up. Let's pray. Father, encourage these saints. The living for you, Father, is so clear, so concrete. There's nothing ambiguous or fuzzy or about it. And so may these saints grasp a little stronger, a little more firm to your truths of obedience, and work a little bit more of your will into their lives. What else is there, Father? Empower these saints through the Holy Spirit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's some food for thought. Please visit thespeakingdeacon.com and get connected to the growing number of social media Christians. Thespeakingdeacon.com. Truth is here.